Everyone.
Hello.
Welcome once again to Reckless Attack, a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. I am, as always, your GM, Nathan, surrounded by some of the most powerful, most talented, most just generally excellent players in all of the tabletop role-playing game space. That's right. I have planted the flag. Come at me. This is a direct challenge to Nadpod. That's right. Bring it on.
Okay, this is how we're starting our beef.
We're fist fighting over the honor.
You don't know who we are, but we're coming for you.
Nor will you ever, and that's fine. We've talked to people who you know tangentially. So, my place, Tuesday. Let's do this.
The ball's in your court.
Precisely. And one of my seconds for that fight, as we are just absolutely brawling our way through, which, by the way, we have a numbers advantage. We have more players than the Nadpod, so we'll be already in a good foot. But to start with, across from me is...
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And Checkers is really just grappling with the sheer size of an Ultra Giant. Like, you know how you can't, your brain can't really comprehend like a billion or a trillion?
Yes,
right. It's like that same thing. If Checkers can't really comprehend just how tall this thing is.
God, how many frogs is it?
Yeah, but he wants to climb it. And to my left.
Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I play Caskrin Brightmane, a Dwarven Sorcerer.
I hate it.
Again, it would have been okay, but you stumbled partway through. Similarly, we haven't done the intro in a little while.
It's so true.
It's a little rusty on top of, you know, no one likes change.
On top of being wrong.
Yeah, right.
Being actively harmful to me, but...
And Caskrin is still figuring out exactly how he wants to respond to this information.
Reasonable.
Yeah, it's not good, but like, is it existential dread not good? I don't know. We're feeling it out. And to my left.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I am playing Selv Asterlin, the dragonborn monk who is also grappling with this idea of ultra giants and trying to get them into a digestible size, I guess. So, you know, ultra giant, more like nultra giant. Am I right?
Woo! Are you trying to neg an ultra giant just for your own like peace of mind?
Just to make me feel better.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to ever hear about it, right? Right?
I mean,
right?
I'm sure you
won't
tell.
It's coming to Agmar for you specifically.
Yeah, right. But I'm hanging out with the ultra giant next week, and who knows what's going to come out of my mouth.
And across the table from me.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie, and I play Valeska Carter, the human asterisk. Cleric asterisk of the Arcana Domain. I haven't said that in so long.
That's the Arcana Domain asterisk.
Kind of. I don't know.
Next week, you might be playing Asterisk Carter.
Could be.
That's like the Indiana Jones version of your character is Asterisk Carter.
All of her siblings are named after other
punctuation marks.
Yeah, right? Which one's apostrophe?
Tilda. Tilda's a good one.
Yeah.
Tilda's an actual name.
Everyone, write in with your best, grammatical names for the Carter family.
I feel kind of sorry for Colin.
Ooh, we all do. But family tradition cannot be denied. So everyone, as you know, we've already maybe mentioned last time here on our beloved podcast, everyone learned some troubling information. First and foremost, the big thing, there's an ultra giant. It's back. There's an ultra giant, not been seen for decades, was one of the many ultra giants that destroyed civilization, which is the big thing. But the other things, the shepherd is still around. I think you probably assumed that as it is. But what you didn't know is that, boy, it really seems like the shepherd is the one who freed the ultra giant. And man, it really... really seems like the shepherd has a lot more like first ones out and about now. So that's something.
We like dealing with them one-on-one, you know, so we can just line them up. That'd be helpful.
Yes, exactly. In the same way that we will be facing Nadpod in 2 weeks' time. Write me back, damn it. Yes, so an army of first ones. And you guys have kind of fought a handful at a time, and it's been rough sledding, and you are high-level adventurers. So,
is it safe to say the war has begun? Are we there yet?
I mean, is it
the glorious war?
Well, maybe.
I think they haven't filled out the right paperwork for
it. Okay, it's just a regular war.
The war is beginning to begun.
Exactly.
Okay.
There are troop movements. It is the prelude to war. Not to get too World War One history on this, but it's bad. And you guys were among the first people in the world to hear about this. And this is a fact that your characters have had to live with over some amorphous amount of in-game time that we will be covering here, spoiler alert, in roughly the next 1 hour of podcast. Vina Calvetta leaves the meeting, brings Filigran Pines, brings Juniper the Ravenmount with her, presumably goes off to kind of tell the powers that be in the city what's happening. Good news, you don't have any gills, so that's one kind of W for you guys. And then again, you just have to sit with this information for a little bit. I'm going to cut to the chase. At some point, the denizens of Agmar get told about what is happening, the existential threat to the city, to them, and I mean, in some people's mind, to mortals. The word doesn't get out probably too much about the shepherd, about kind of the details of, oh yes, and also these weird alien creatures are also kind of kicking around, and maybe there's a whole army of them and blah, 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 but there's enough information at some point that people know. The city is uneasy, to say the least. Already, by the next morning, a few empty houses. Gone, who knows where. There is closed businesses, and tensions are high. Overnight, the city feels different. You four are there, living amongst this feeling of unease, and living knowing even more about the potential doom that faces the city and the world than even the people who have already run. Shortly thereafter, Vina Calvetta comes to talk to you all, one by one. Who is the first person that Vina comes to talk to?
Val is where she always is.
Probably the easiest one to track down, yeah. I would imagine.
She's not at the library. She's at the desk of doing. She's not at the desk of doing. She's probably sleeping. Mm-hmm. Just rotating between the three. Val has gone to her patron pretty immediately after receiving the news to ask them what they know about the city, its defenses, about Ultra Giants in general. When Vina arrives, Val is probably really deep into recalling schematics of the city that have been redacted and doing her best to glean information from those pages.
Where does Vina find you? Are you in the restricted section? Are you in a study room?
Oh, yeah. Let's say Val's in her preferred study room. And again, working over different schematics. There's probably piles of books organized by topic, but it's getting a little red yarn in there at this point.
There's no knock on the door, because why would someone knock on the door here that's not optimal for kind of flow state? Instead, you notice that a little sign maybe has been flipped, and you kind of just notice in your own way that someone is waiting for you.
Val will get up and open the door to see who is popping by.
As said, it is Vina. Excuse me, I apologize if I'm disrupting anything. I certainly want to ensure that you are able to get what you need. Do you have everything you need here?
Yeah. You know, it turns out pledging your self, soul, to the guardian of the restricted section gets you pretty far.
I had been briefed on that. I'm still a little confused and slightly concerned, but I certainly trust you, and, well, if there's anything to be bound to in this city, the libraries is good a place of any, I suppose. So mm-hmm. I will say
it's not Larry Steves of the restricted section, so it's a different neutral entity, which, you know.
I am glad that you are finding a good relationship. I suppose it would be presumptive of me to ask, are there any answers, anything?
I have some leads on what might be helpful within the walls of Agmar, different pathways to explore to see what remains of different pentarchy machinations, honestly, kind of just mechanics. But I'll probably have to ask the whole guild to help me investigate, because it seems like the pentarchy took guarding even the mechanical room of the city quite seriously.
That was always my understanding from growing up here, and from my father, certainly, is everything was well guarded. But any resources that you need, please let me know if I can assist. I've been curious, have you already reached out to the members of your order at the Illustrious Atheum?
Yes, I have sent some messages, mostly alerting them to what happened, asking if Rachma would be open to refugees, but they haven't given me a ton of updates up till now.
Can you remind me, Rachma, where you are from?
Mm-hmm.
I believe where the Golden Tree did its training and where it's headquartered, I believe.
Yes.
How did Rachma remain standing through the Ultra Giants?
It's very much like refuge, except instead of caves, it's canyons. The population is much smaller than Agmar, but also not quite as evident. There is no Ruby Citadel. There is no mortal-made structure above the canyons. There is just desert and the font of the saint.
Yes, certainly not the city we find ourselves in. Agmar is many things, but hidden is certainly not one of them. If anything comes up in your research, please let me know. I'm still formulating my thoughts on what we should be doing mm-hmm. here in the city. We are certainly not stopping anyone from evacuating, but whether we should accompany people, whether we should evacuate everyone, whether we should ensure that a force stays behind
mm-hmm.
to, if nothing else, buy time, I do not know yet. So any information that you can give to aid me in the decision, or dare I hope, aid against what is to come, I trust you'll tell me.
Of course. My thoughts went immediately to the people. So I do have this, and Val hands like a 5 notebook series to Vina.
Ah.
Of this is a detailed, I mean, like, it's not my best work, but it was rushed, but also just like a detailed step-by-step instruction. I know you've already evacuated to refuge once before, but I thought there could be some improvements of last time, given like the journal I found in the restricted section. So this is just like, yeah, how to do it better than last time. And please note in the appendix, there is a whole bioluminescent ecosystem that could feed the population with more like vitamins and nutrients than the diet last time. So it's just I thought that would be helpful.
Well, more paperwork for Namgar. Good. then
more things that are not my problem.
Yeah, precisely.
Wow, delegation. True yeah. mark of a leader.
Yeah. And she just like looks at this pile of information and she says, that's truly appreciated. There are not many who were there during the original evacuation or like myself, who were old enough to remember any of the logistics, so to speak. This is good. This mm-hmm. will at least point us in the direction of hopefully saving more lives. Thank you. This yes. is wonderful. She goes to close the door behind her and she kind of pokes her head back in and she says, oh, and I know we are certainly using what resources we have and using the postal system and that sort of thing to spread the word as far as possible. But I know you are able to communicate via magic. Please, anyone you are able to alert or give more details to.
Oh, you know what, Vina? Good thing you brought that up. I was going to talk to a friend of Garnax who helped us with things.
Yes.
And, you know, they don't like, they're not very charitable. So, like, here's a list, and Val will just kind of push a parchment over to her, of assets I thought we could offer.
Yes.
For her assistance in anything that she might be willing
yes,
to help with.
The, yes, reaching out to, and you see her voice catch just a little bit, the person in question, she opens up the piece of paper, she looks at it, I'll speak to Andromeda and see what I can clear.
Cool, great, thank you.
So Vina is on her way back from the library. She's walking through the main thoroughfare of Agmar. And I'm imagining that like Agmar has a pretty comprehensive sewer system in place.
For sure.
As noted in our chicken episode.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct. And all of a sudden, while Vina is walking along the road, this manhole cover just kind of like slides open next to her. And she just feels like a little froggy hand just like tap on her ankle.
Hey.
Roll me a dexterity saving throw.
I'm going to be using this very special dice. And I'm going to call it out. This is a dice that one of our dear patrons, Lulu, got us. It is a Mothman-themed dice. And she got it for us because she saw the Mothman dice and thought about us and sent it over. And I'm so happy about that. So thank you, Lulu, for this wonderful dice. But I'm going to be using this dice.
Sweet.
To roll for checkers today. 14.
You are able to successfully, at least mostly, dodge a pile of 5 notebooks that come tumbling towards your head. Luckily, they do not risk falling in the sewer. They just kind of slide off, and you take no bludgeoning damage from this pile of paper. So, checkers. In the sewers, I see today, as she says, grabbing all of the notebooks again.
Oh, hi, Vina. I didn't see you there. Yeah, Mango and I are just scouting out the sewers. There's a whole network down here. It's pretty cool.
I have never personally been down. I've seen the blueprints and schematics. You know, actually, would it be useful for you to get a copy of the blueprints at all to compare against? Is that...
No, I have one right here. And Checkers just holds up a crayon drawing of a map of the sewers.
I feel like I should and need to ask, what is it exactly you are doing? I mean, I know you're mapping, but why, I suppose?
Well, you said how there were all kinds of weird creatures following the Ultra Giant, right? Some of them were flying, some of them were crawling, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I would try and help out a little bit and make the city of Agrabar more secure. You know, there's all these entrances and exits in the sewers and the walls, and I thought maybe it would be helpful to have a map.
Ah, that would be helpful. Checkers. And she kind of squats down next to you. And she says, Checkers, it has been a busy last few days. Right now, I am going around and talking to some of the people that I trust most here in the city. And that includes you.
Neat.
Yes. Certainly first, if you have feelings around what to do, I welcome it. But if you're here and doing this sort of work already, Checkers, how would you like a job?
I already have a job. I do community service.
I love that your actual job is your answer.
Yes, exactly. Okay, that's interesting. Checkers, here's what I'd like to propose. Let's be frank, you already go into essentially every corner of the city that you want to go to.
Yep.
I don't love that you said that so quickly, but we are being honest with each other. What if I gave you not permission, select any of the words that is kind of most interesting. Permission, authority, license, more of a
leeway.
A get out of jail free card.
Yes, yes. I think that's the perfect way to say it.
I can already get out of jail.
Yeah. For free.
Yeah. I don't even have a jail. I would rather go there.
Get out of our complicated justice system.
Yes, get out of community service card. And I gave you full reign of going, within reason, anywhere you want in the city to help find exactly places like this, places that are vulnerable, that we can fortify, places that are fortified that we can funnel people into. Checkers, you're one of the most interesting minds that we have here in the city. If you're willing, I would love to support you in helping out the city in that way.
I suppose, but on one condition.
I am very worried, but also relieved it's only one. Go ahead.
And Checkers will beckon to Vina to just come closer. Come closer.
She just like fully has to like, she leans forward and then eventually just sits all the way down on the ground. Yes, Checkers.
And Checkers whispers something into her ear. I'm not going to tell you right now what it is.
That's fine. We'll work out the details. In principle, that's fine. That's fine. Are we in tentative agreement?
Yeah, sounds like fun.
All right. Thank you, Checkers. I appreciate having you here.
And Checkers disappears back into the sewers.
Just a lone clink of a sewer manhole cover.
Right.
As it goes back into place.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hey everyone, Jonathan here with the Midroll. If you're looking for the hottest frog memes around, join the Reckless Attack community on Discord. You can find a link to it in the show notes of our latest episodes or on our website, recklessattack.com. Want to support the show? Tell a friend or check out our Patreon at patreon.com/recklessattack, where you can get access to our behind-the-screen talkback show as well as our new Reckless of Snacks series, where we eat snacks, hang out, and just talk about whatever's on our mind. Thanks so much for listening to us, and we hope you enjoy the rest of the episode.
I do actually want to ask one separate thing that isn't related to what Checkers is doing.
good.
Well, kind of. But, so Checkers knows that the Shepherd is involved in this, and that there are the First Ones and the Ultra Giant as well. It's been a few weeks, but we did release Junior into that strange dimensional void that we found at the bottom of the tomb.
Indeed, you did.
I'm wondering, what happened to Junior? Like, Checkers, as part of all of this, would try to summon Junior back and try to maybe see if Junior had more information about what he saw, what was going on.
So, as I believe I recall, and maybe as you recall, as soon as Junior crawled through that crack, your connection was severed. Could not feel his presence, you could not see him, etc. In the days since, when you've had those pangs of a missing rustle in your tricorn hat and tried to resummon him, it has failed.
Oh, interesting.
You've been without Junior for multiple days now.
Starting to get anxious.
And you have not...
Starting to get itchy.
Yeah, I'm starting to get itchy.
Nothing from Junior. No nibble on the line that he exists.
Can you even be a stack of frogs without the third frog?
You're just keeping Billiam constantly summoned.
Yeah, like this is a blow to my identity.
Yeah.
I've had three frogs since episode one.
Yeah.
And you're telling me that I can't have my third frog, Nathan?
I'm not saying that you can't have
depriving
it.
Depriving him of his third frog?
I'm saying the third frog is gone.
I think in the absence of Junior, Checkers just like folds a piece of paper and colors it green and is like shaped like a frog and puts it in his hat.
Which is very adorable, but also very hard when you're doing a lot of sewer work.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens with Junior later, I suppose. He's going to keep trying.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
We'll see. Nathan, we'll see what does or does not happen to Junior.
Nathan, you didn't just murder my frog, did you?
We'll see.
I feel like Nathan would be like, I didn't send him in.
Yeah, you made a choice.
I didn't do anything to Junior.
You didn't just narratively murder my frog.
Nope. I observed you sending your frog into essentially a hell dimension and being like, all right, well, I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We gave him a parachute. We thought he'd be fine.
Yeah.
He had goggles.
And indeed, we have seen what has happened.
Indeed. Indeed.
I'm going to say a few days later, after all this, Vina finds Kaskrin in the training yard.
Mm-hmm.
And he is hosting a special session of the community service, the training that all of these people have, you know, been signed up for, the community events in self-defense, in grappling. And today it is on wilderness survival.
Mm.
Specifically, it is on both learning how to live in cramped spaces, learning how to live in a cave system, but also foraging. He's teaching this to, you know, people like I'm imagining, you know, kind of like the heads of households. The members of the community that are here each have a number of plants and herbs and mushrooms in front of them, and they're working on identifying which of them are safe to eat and which of them are poisonous. And Kaskrin himself has a bunch of notes that he's flipping through that he got from Checkers. And
expert on what can be eaten.
Yes. Yep.
They are crayon drawings of like good mushrooms and bad mushrooms, good berries and bad berries. But they're very difficult to tell apart. It's like, this one's a shade of purple. This one's a slightly lighter shade of pink mushroom. So it says here, eat the purple one. And everyone's just looking at these mushrooms like lightly confused. It's like, damn it, Checkers.
Luckily, included in the fees, which are non-existent, but as part of the registration of this, Etrus has provided a large array of anti-poison, anti-diuretic, etc. kind of Pepto-Bismols, I guess, for all people who may, I don't know, nibble on something they're not supposed to.
I want to imagine that I'm going to say Etrus is there as well.
Yep, makes sense.
And, like, this is a very hand-on experiment. Like, you eat these, you document how you feel, you take the appropriate antitoxin.
Just like Checkers does it.
Yeah, yep. Exactly how he does it.
Learn by doing.
And you're rewarded with a root beer at the end. I think this is going pretty well, Etrus.
You know, honestly, this has been a lot of fun. Just kind of learning, getting to see, honestly, what all my potions work on. I didn't know half of the time, and it seems to be going pretty good, and I have a quick question for you, Kaskrin. Did the participants, did they sign away vomit rights? Because there's like a lot of vomit here, which might be alchemically interesting.
Oh, you want the vomit? You want to take it?
I don't know what I want to do with it yet. I just need to know what my options are.
You'll find a clause in all registration documents for the Golden Tree that Etrus specifically had Val put in, that he does have rights to any bodily excretions of participants.
Yikes. And that's as far as we'll go into examining any of that.
They signed it. Okay. Yeah, they signed it.
It's all very ethically legal.
Yeah, right.
And he says, they had one of the pink berries. 1 second, I'll be right back. And he goes and like leans someone back and like force feeds a potion down their face for probably the 20th time. But spirits are pretty good for a bunch of people who've been poisoned repeatedly.
And Casgrin takes the sheet of paper that says pink berries or blueberries are good and bad and just like turns it around because he was reading it wrong. And just like,
In the moment in between demonstrations, we'll say, you see, standing on the outskirts of this field, you see, indeed, Vina Calvetta. And next to her is a familiar person. It is Yanis Varga of the Verdant Wave. Long blonde hair, elven ears pointing through. And he, as Vina, you know, waves at you to get your attention, Yanis is inspecting the people before him and their various excrements.
Etrus, keep everyone alive for a bit, all right? I'll be right back.
You got it.
And Casper goes up to Vina and Yanis. He gives Vina a respectful salute. He gives Yanis a curt nod. And Casper says directly to Vina, "It's a pleasure to see you."
Vina gives you another nod, and she looks with bright eyes around the field where all of these different people are. And she just is nodding and smiling a little bit. As she's looking over all these people, she says, "You know, you guys have done a great job with all of this. Teaching people how to defend themselves, teaching people skills like this. I've heard, frankly, very good things about some of your dance nights. I don't think I've said it before, Casgrin, but this all helps the city. It helps the world, truly."
"And I find it truly incredible what you can accomplish when you care about people." And he looks pointedly at Yanis. "When you care about the common man."
Yanis looks at Vina and says, "Please, can we proceed? This place smells of vomit." And Vina's like, yes, of course. Casgrin, would you mind, can I borrow you just for a few moments?"
Of course.
The three of you are just walking in relative silence. And Vina eventually stops and turns to face you two. She says, "As you know, I have been speaking to people around the city just to gauge their feelings, gauge what they think is best, what they've observed about the city and about how things are going. Frankly, there are only two people in the city who have a point of view similar to mine in terms of military readiness. And that's the two of you. You have both been in various outfits, not just as guilders, but as guardsmen, as soldiers, as commanders. So I will ask you about how you feel about where the city is at right now. But first, Casgrin, I wanted to ask you. I knew very little of the city that you hailed from, and it was very interesting to learn about your history with the Ultra Giants. Did you ever see one?"
"I've seen one. I fought one. Lotros slayed this Ultra Giant. It took, as far as I know, the high wizards of the city coming together, casting some dark magic, and cursing those of us who were left to deal with a broken city afterwards." And he is kind of lost in his own memories. He's kind of building up that frustration, that anger of, I didn't sign up for this. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I never asked for any of this. But he's got experience, at least.
Kastgren, even lost in your thoughts, you would see that Giannis somehow takes his already ramrod posture and straightens up even further, but says nothing. And Vina sets her jaw, nods, and she says, I must ask a question that I now fear I already know the answer to. You've been in the city. You know who is here. You know a little bit about the strange and mysterious forces that protect it and the very real people who are here. Is it enough if the Ultra Giant comes?
I think it could be. I know that there are some very powerful guilds in the city. I know that the Red Guard, the Bones, the military we have available to us is strong. But it needs to be led by the right people. And Kastgren turns to Giannis. It needs to be led by someone who has the people's best interest in mind. And I don't see that in you, Giannis.
He cocks an eyebrow at you and just actually looks at you for probably the first time in the conversation.
I see someone who is so dedicated to the end result, so dedicated to the destination that he forgets the journey, that he forgets what we're doing this all for. If someone like you were in charge of the military might in Agmar, we might have a slain Ultra Giant, but we would have no one left to rebuild the city afterwards. You would sacrifice everyone and anything to accomplish the mission.
That's true. To slay an Ultra Giant? Of course I would. When you face something like that, only fools leave anything off the table. But do not worry. The Verdant Wave does not intend to stay in Agmar. And Vina furrows her brow and looks quizzically. Giannis says, heroes don't matter in a siege, especially the one that's coming. At the end of the day, we would be little more than men on the walls. He looks over at Kastgren and says, I have no intention of leading here, no desire to. I am sure that whoever volunteers themselves will do so adequately.
So you're just abandoning the people? You're just up and leaving?
We are finding better uses for our talents.
That's your decision, Giannis, but we could do so much here for the city, for the defense of Agmar. Kavos, Barzug, Trenkar. They could be such valuable allies here.
Vina looks at Giannis and says, yes, that is your choice. A disappointing one, but I do see the wisdom in it in some ways, and it is no right of mine to keep anyone here if they do not wish to be. I appreciate what you've done for the city, and she extends a hand to Giannis, and he shakes it, and he turns to Kastgren and looks at you again, and he says, I must know. You and your guild have been at the center of much of this. You have faced the one known as the Shepherd. I find myself wondering, what kind of person is the Shepherd in your estimation?
They are old, twisted, driven. My only advice is if you ever see them, run.
He nods. Thank you. It is always best to know one's enemies. Selv, what are you doing when Vina finds you?
So Selv is actually sitting in the plaza, basically staring at the skull of Jornas the Halcyon Worm, the skull of the gold dragon that is prominently displayed in Agmar.
Selv, you probably wouldn't know this, but you, Steve, would know this. Vina approaches, not by herself. My understanding, did you reach out to her?
Yes. So question? after kind of hearing that she had contacted some of the others, Selv reached out to Vina, or her office as it is, and asked if they were planning on meeting, and also if she knew of and could bring somebody who was an expert in divine magics, I guess. Whether that is Val, if Val is available, although Selv knows that Val has been kind of shut away, but she might make herself available.
Dragged her out of that study room at one point and was like, no, sleep for you.
Yes, that is her main goal. So the immediate answer would be, of course, I want to talk to you, A, first of all, and B, yeah, if we're trying to preserve Val's sanity, I'll look into it and get back to you, and then we can talk about it and meet. This time, Vina shows up with the entire Golden Tree Guild in tow. The Golden Tree were hanging around the guild hall, and they were told that something was happening at the front gate, and that your immediate attention was required. So I don't know if you guys are on edge with that information, if there are you guys are
it wasn't me this time, I promise,
packed with weapons or not, but that's the energy that the Golden Tree is like rolling up with. And you guys all walk up to Selv, and Vina just kind of from a distance is, Selv, please, over here, and gestures you over as she just is kind of walking towards the front gates of the city.
Yes, of course.
So I have been thinking over your ask for the last couple days, and I've been working on it. Unfortunately, none of our clerics are powerful enough, or at least powerful enough in that sort of magic, to do the things that you have asked. But something is happening at the front gate, and it may open up some opportunities. She kind of continues marching very seriously as the four of you continue walking behind her. It's a little bit later on, so some of the lines of people evacuating have died down a little bit, but there's kind of a steady trickle out. Except there is a single person who is in the incoming line, essentially. There is one person, and it is a person that you all recognize. This person is in intense conversation with the person at the, you know, kind of like welcoming them into the city, and is showing all sorts of documentation, flipping through page after page, opening folders, showing lots of probably very official looking things. And her face turns to you all and immediately brightens as this person yells out from dozens of feet away. Oh my God, guys, hi, it's me, hi, oh, Val, I'm here.
Val takes off running. No one has seen Val sprint this fast in her life, and just runs straight into this woman's arms.
Because standing at the front gates of the Red City of Agmar is Val's mom.
Hey!
Yeah!
And that's where we'll end this week's episode, everybody.
Bye! Bye!
grab your last bits of water. Do whatever you need to do. Clear your throat. Do your Tim Allen vocal exercises. This is what's going on.
God, if I did that, I would not be able to talk the whole episode.
You did a whole literal whole character of that noise for a full episode and a half.
See, I don't know. It's like a weird, like deep kind of thing. But
you know what this guild needs, right? More power.
God, no, that turned into Jabba the Hutt. I don't remember.